So incentives that are relevant to business procurement management needs to be aware of. So one is the tax incentive. So we are aware that certain countries, they incentivize. Even when you look at countries which have an export tax, the export tax is not uniform. You will find that certain products have higher export tax, some have less, and some products do not have a export tax. So even when it comes to import duties, you know that we have various slabs as far as the import duties are concerned. So the items where the government wishes to discourage imports, you will find the duties are higher. And the essential items which are not maybe produced locally or not available locally, there the duties will be less. As you can see, even in the case of GST, you have various slabs starting from 0, 5, 12, 18, and then you have 28%. So depending upon, how critical the material is, the classification of the material will be done to either encourage or discourage the transactions. Hiring incentives. So, there are certain incentives even for hiring the people. It could be the local people. So if you hire the local people, then in tax, etc., in corporate tax, you may have certain concessions. Research and development incentives. So government wants to encourage R&D efforts. And again, in India also, we have this incentive where a company which is, investing in research and development, they have a proper, infrastructure, etc., then they can claim certain deductions or rebates in the corporate taxes. Property tax relief, so if there is an undeveloped area where, the government wants to people to encourage, encourage people to put up units there, then they will give certain relief in the property tax so that, people will set up unit there, take the additional effort, to train the local people who may not be really very skilled, etc. But by offering these incentives, they try to develop areas which generally would take much longer to develop or where people would generally not like to go. Green incentives, which are more environmental incentives, so in terms of carbon footprint and green, I would say, manufacturing technologies, so that you do as little harm to the environment as possible, cause as low a pollution as possible. Training benefits, so even if you're training the people, etc., the government gives you a benefit because it actually enriches the people, it adds skills to the people. So the government also in some cases is giving incentives through taxes, etc., for training purpose. And of course, there are other incentives for various other activities. We'll see some of these in more details. So, tax incentives, so the sales or the use tax exemption or refunds. So, as we have seen in case of GST, we get a total refund if you are into manufacturing. So, that is one form of incentive, because if you see in the past, there were certain taxes which were actually adding to the cost. That means once the tax is paid, it adds to your cost. And at the next stage, when you pay the tax, your customer is not able to get a full refund or a credit of the taxes. So GST is one example. Deferment of the tax payment. So in some cases where government wants to develop a certain area, they may declare a tax holiday where you don't have to pay the tax for the 5 years. It's not that you don't really have to pay the taxes, but for the first 5 years, you can keep the tax aside. You can use it for growth of your business. At the end of 5 years, then you will have to pay the taxes. So it's a kind of a tax holiday where you are not required to deposit the tax with the government until a certain period of time. And it's a free capital which is available to you till the time you have to make the payment to the government. Additional input credit on capital purchases. So even on capital equipment, if you're setting up a new plant and you're buying capital equipment which is very, very expensive, so today in the GST regime you are also allowed to take input credit on the capital purchases, so which actually help you to reduce your project cost quite substantially. Export zone credit, so if you are in the SEZ or one of these export zones where there are certain incentives given, also a lot of hassles relating to compliance like custom clearance, etc., can be avoided because you are treated as offshore in the sense, there are no taxes, no duties applicable which are otherwise applicable locally. Unless you are going to bring the product into the domestic area and you're going to sell the product which may not be fit for export or so, only then you need to pay those taxes, and there are also other incentives which are offered by the government. Research and development credits, we have already covered that government at times encourages R&D. Also, if there is a country which is very rich in resource and they want to exploit the resources, they may even sponsor certain kind of R&D activity so that you can find more means of using those resources, adding more value to it and fetching a better value, out of those resources. So tax incentives, capital investment tax credits, and credit for alternative energy, new market tax credit, three areas. Capital investment, we have already looked at it. Sometimes even for, setting up a project, etc., there are certain incentives offered through in terms of lower taxes, just because the government wants you to come and establish a manufacturing unit or a service unit there. Credit for alternative energy is, when you are using clean energy like solar, wind energy, etc., so you also get certain incentive. For example, just to deviate from the subject, you have certain tax benefits if you're buying an electric vehicle, and even you have benefit in the income tax if you own an electric vehicle and you're paying installment for it. So the government does encourage use of alternative clean energies, and for that there are some incentive because today capital expenditure for alternative energy is high and the cost of the energy also is slightly higher than your conventional energy. New market tax credits, so if you are entering into certain new technologies, again I take the example of electric vehicles, government has offered incentive, I think 2 years ago, even in the budget, the government has reduced the import duties, etc., on components which are required for making solar panels, so that more and more people are encouraged to manufacture them locally and adopt the technology, also to bring down the cost of the clean energy, that is the solar energy in this particular case. So hiring and incentives, so you have the wage rebates where the government may actually give you certain rebates or grants, if you are employing the local people, and for job creation, since employment is one of the responsibility of the government, they encourage people to employ the local population, and for that there are various incentives which are offered. Employment related tax incentives are also there, so even in the corporate tax, some concessions could be given by certain states or certain governments. Hiring and employment screening incentive in some geographies, I will not elaborate because it's more or less the same thing. Coming to the research and development incentive, so federal government, state R&D credits, so you get certain credits and certain concessions. You are allowed to set off the R&D expenses from your taxable profits. Tax incentive for investment in research and development lab and expenditure. But of course, you have to actually show what is the kind of research you have been doing, what has been the outcome, what is the commercialization of your R&D efforts. So it's not necessary that you only show R&D expenses, you also will have to show the results emerging from there. R&D cash grants. So like I said, when the government wants you to, they want to promote R&D for some local resources, local raw materials, local waste which is generated to, make better use of it. They may even grant certain, grants to encourage R&D in those areas, basically to, solve the issue or generate more value out of the natural resources. Additional increased deductions for research and development spend in the corporate tax. This we have talked about because this is the major incentive actually as far as the industry is concerned. As I said, it can be in two forms, that R&D also entitles you for a lower corporate tax. At the same time, the R&D expenses may be allowed, as a deduction from your taxable income. Property tax reliefs and incentives. So exemption of property or establishment tax for setting up manufacturing or service centers in certain locations. So like I said, the government wants to encourage people to go to the backward areas, basically to uplift the people, provide, the opportunities to the local people. So for this, they may give certain incentive in the form of property tax, etc. Favorable property tax treatment for certain industries. So even it so happens that in India, you have favorable property tax treatment for the electronic sector, for the non-polluting sectors, even like automobile, etc. So whereas there may be some taxes which are not favorable for the polluting sectors like chemical industry or so. In fact, in certain areas, they also prohibit putting up of certain kind of units. So you will find that there are incentives even given to BPOs or BPO and software industry, IT industry, consultancy, since they are considered as non-polluting and value-adding because they generate revenue, at the same time they don't add to the pollution. Plus they open up a lot of opportunities for the local population. So coming to the green incentives, you have the carbon credits. So depending upon your carbon footprint, if you have a very ecologically, lean organization, which where you are not really adversely impacting the environment, then you are earning carbon credits as per certain formula. So based on the carbon credits, certain incentives are available to you. Greenhouse gas reduction. So if you're reducing the greenhouse gases, like the emission of CO2, carbon monoxide, even use of certain refrigerants, which are considered to be greenhouse gases. So these are incentivized. Incentive for LEED certified premises. So again, if you have an office or a commercial structure which is LED LEED certified, which means that it's economically less damaging or friendly, then you have certain incentives by the government in terms of taxes, etc. R&D and manufacturing incentives for green products. So if you are coming out with green products, like for example products which use very little energy or where the pollutants released are much less, then these are incentivized. Electric vehicles are part of this, because again it's a green revolution. You can see even the number plate of electric vehicles will be green in color. So there are certain incentives which are provided for such technologies. Training benefits, so incentives of training spend, mainly to encourage companies or businesses to train their people, to invest in training, because at least that way the companies will focus on enhancing the skill levels of their employees. Supplier development programs and incentives, especially for small and medium businesses. So even if you are investing efforts in supplier development, etc., there are certain incentives which are available to you. We already have structured benefits, for the small, medium, and micro, enterprises. But even the bigger enterprises which use the services of the smaller enterprises, they are incentivized. Some places, a certain proportion of your procurement has to be from this MSME sector. So, and you have certain incentive even for doing that. So actually it works in a way that if you do not use their services, you may be subjected to slightly higher taxes also. Tax credit on training spend. So that we have already covered in this. What are the other incentives? So infrastructure grant and setup assistance. So like we said, that when government wants to develop a certain region or a certain location, then they will give you a certain incentive for setting up shop there and for development of infrastructure. Even you will see that you have the buy, own, operate, transfer kind of agreement where private enterprises can work with the government to build the infrastructure, operate it, generate revenue from it, and then they can transfer it to the government. Low cost financing for capital expenditures. So even the government may give you low cost finance for the capital expenditure for coming and setting up shop or your establishment in an area which is focused for development. Discount on sourcing various utilities. So also you may have the incentive, apart from what we have seen, the other incentive, the utilities like water, can be gas or certain fuels, etc., electricity, which are offered at the discounted rates. Waiver of permit and license fees. So even the usual licensing and permit fees, etc., they can be waived off with a view to encourage or incentivize setting up a business in the remote areas. Discounted land. Normally, when you go to remote areas, yes, the land is discounted, but then additional incentive is given, so that the capital expenditure and the investment in the land, building, etc., can be reduced to act as a additional incentive for companies to go to this remote areas and develop them. So implementation aspect for global sourcing manager for effective tax and incentive management. So identification and quantification of the indirect taxes and incentives that the organization is currently pays and receives. So the procurement manager or sourcing manager should actually have a very clear view of all the taxes that you are paying, direct, indirect, whenever you are, resorting to global sourcing. And what are the incentives that you are entitled to? So like, for example, if you are importing it from a particular country where the resources abundant and there are incentives for, bringing in material from that country, that makes sense. Likewise, if you are going to process the material and re-export it to other countries, then you should also be taking the advantage of certain taxes and incentives which are available, so that you don't pay taxes on this or import duties on this material. You don't pay some of the local taxes, and plus you may be receiving some incentive in terms of working capital from the government for the exports that you are doing. So one has to have a clear picture of what are the indirect taxes and the incentive that the organization is paying, or the benefit that they are receiving. Identification and quantification of the areas of current and future risks and opportunity, including the cost of related to tax compliance obligation. So one thing is, we know today what incentives are available to us, what taxes we are paying. But as I said, you know, these things are very dynamic. I mean, what is true today may not be true tomorrow. So one has to be, constantly evaluating the future risk as well. Just to give an example, one of the companies that I worked with, they set up a huge site. The process they were working with required a large amount of electricity, and the entire process, electrolysis process, where the energy that is required for manufacture was only electricity. That means you don't require gas, you don't require fuel oils or anything. What you require majorly is electricity. The local government entered into a agreement with the company to sell the power at 1 paisa per unit. And this, I'm talking of the year 1968. The agreement was supposed to be for 10 years. The plant was commissioned in the year 69 or 70. For 1 year, the government supplied electricity at 1 paisa. There was a change in the political leadership, and the new government came and said that, sorry, we cannot supply electricity to you at this rate. Whoever entered this contract with you have not considered the rural population to whom we are obliged to supply the electricity. And the power tariff from 1 paisa per unit went to 3 paisa. Within the next 2 years, the power tariff went to 7 paisa, and our entire economics of the manufacturing site, which was based on a contract or an agreement with the government at 1 paisa, went flat. By the 5th or the 6th year, the government said, we are deficit for power and we cannot supply you power. With the result, we found that during the summer month, we started having power cut, which means that we had to shut down part of our manufacturing setup, and only part power that was available to us, with that we had to manage our manufacturing activities. And this was a big learning, because even this kind of a long-term agreement with the government can be breached in public interest. So if you're making a big investment, one has to be absolutely conscious of the fact that you can land in this kind of a situation. So one has to be aware of the future risk as well as the opportunities, and your strategies have to be a little dynamic. Assignment of clear role and responsibilities for managing companies' indirect tax performance and incentive. There has to be a proper accountability. There has to be a team of people competent who are tracking this. They are knowledgeable. They know what are the tax implications, what are the taxes applicable, what are the changing taxes and policies which are happening in various parts of the world, so that they can direct, and ensure that you gain from the policies. Ensure that the team across various functions has understanding of implications of taxes. So also, while you are benefiting from certain kind of taxes, etc., the functions involved, whether it is R&D, whether it is HR, human resource development, they have to be aware of the policy, so that they can, like, if you have an incentive which is available for recruiting local talent, this has to be kept in mind. So whenever you are evaluating a talent, you have to look at whether you can take a local talent, or there is a more benefit in taking a talent from outside, even at the cost of foregoing the incentive. So the functions have to be aware of it, because otherwise what may happen is that you have the incentives, everything is there, but the people who are supposed to execute and take the decision are not aware of the benefit they can accrue, and you may not actually accrue the benefits in the process. Ensure that standardized processes are implemented and leading practices are encouraged throughout the organization for effective tax management. Very self-explanatory. You have to have a very standard SOPs so that the tax compliance is taken care of. You are managing your tax management very effectively so as to derive maximum benefit from the incentives and the tax concessions which may be available to companies like you or organizations like yours. Outsourced and co-sourced partners of the organization ensure compliance with the tax laws and periodic submission of the report to the global sourcing manager. So, like I said, you as a buyer are also responsible for your trading partners, including your suppliers. So if they do not comply with the law, you cannot isolate yourself. Also, if you look at in the new regime, as in case of GST, let us say that your vendor is supplying a material to you and he is not filing the tax returns, or he is not depositing the tax with the government. Remember, you will not get the tax credit, or if you have availed the tax credit, you will be required to reverse the tax credit. So it is necessary that all your partners, whether it is outsourced or co-sourced or your suppliers, they are all complying with the local laws. And in our organizations, all major functions are required to periodically submit a report stating that yes, we are complying with all the relevant laws and our partners are also doing the same. So this is very important. Establishment and measurement of the indirect taxes and incentives by adopting key performance indicators related to organization's supply chain and procurement goals. So one way to do it is to approach the topic in a very general way. The other is that you have certain key performance indicators which are defined, like in terms of what are the taxes that you're paying, when you're doing a global sourcing or a global procurement, what is the cost addition which is happening on account of taxes, or what percentage of your cost you are able to recover through incentives. Thank you.